shall we hear from our featured guest this week? I think it's time, because it is Deacon Blues lead singer Ricky Ross. He's been out on tour with the band this summer, but he's also got his own solo album out, Short Stories Volume 2, and his memoir called Walking Back Home. So he's now planning a tour for later in the year, which will see him play at St George's Hall in Bristol on Tuesday, the 4th of October. We'll hear one of the songs from the album very shortly. But when I spoke to Ricky, I asked him what kind of hectic few months he's had with the Deacon Blue tour, the new album, and the book coming out.
Well, probably the same as everyone else, in the sense that what happened was we didn't get the tour finished. 21. COVID kicked in the last of the week, so we had to finish some tour dates. And then, of course, some things got put back from 2020, 21, you know, so on and so forth. So there's still been Deacon Blue stuff going on, which we're really enjoying. I think we've got about three more shows to do this summer, but it's sort of, it's managed to, you know, sort of kind of come together into this bit of a perfect storm, because this other world is starting up now. So it's been busier than I thought it was going to be. I thought we were going to have a bit more time off, but we managed to, Larry and I managed to get away for a nice long holiday in America recently, so we're kind of grateful for that.
I've been listening to the album, and it's very calming, very, very peaceful, but also you listen really carefully to the lyrics, because they're short stories. They're stories, aren't they?
They are, and I think probably I try and clear everything else out, you know, and concentrate on the vocal telling that story. And they're kind of related a lot to some of the themes that go on in the book. But I think with this record especially, I just got this inspiration from being out the outdoors, you know, the kind of world that, the pastoral world that wasn't in the last short stories, the hills, especially the highlands in Scotland, and the characters in it, just even my own personal, there's a very personal story called Still Walking, which is really about a camping expedition I did with my son a few years ago, when he reluctantly came up a hill and then discovered he really loved it after all. So there's a sense of that going on with all these stories.
And actually, that must be very different to the Deacon Blue tracks that you record as a group. These are stories, and it's a chance to be a little bit more personal with what you're writing.
I think so. And I just think that there's certain songs that lend themselves to being big bands. I mean, one of these two of the songs could probably have gone down that direction, but I was kind of glad. I mean, the song called I Was the Beatles on the record, and that started life as a song that Greg and I wrote. We wrote lots of different things for the last Deacon Blue album. That was one we liked, but we just couldn't see it fitting in. And it was quite a guitar song. And anyhow, I listened to one, and they thought, I think I could rework that. You know, I think I could make that work as a piano song, which I hadn't thought about. So the songs, yeah, they sort of, when they appear, they sort of, they seem to sort of suggest themselves. If it's just a piano and a voice and that's enough, then that's the kind of song I need for the record.
Yeah, and having listened to it and tried to really listen closely to the lyrics, am I right in thinking there's a hint of lockdown experience in what you're writing about here?
Yeah, well, certainly is on Spanish Shoes on towards the end, and that sense of just wanting to get out and get somewhere and hoping this time is going to pass. And of course, something that we all know now is that life doesn't just come back the way it was. It's changed and it's adapted, and you know, there's lots of bits of it that have come back, and we're very grateful for that. I'm sure you are too. But even both doing what we're doing at the moment, which is talking to each other from our homes, these are things that have become much more the norm for lots of people, I think, over the last 2 years. So yeah, there's a lot of it was written in lockdown, and a lot of it, and all of it was recorded sometimes very late at night. It was very quiet in lot. I mean, certainly around here, but I mean, it's quiet where I live anyway, but it just seemed even quieter than normal. And so the record was made at that time. And sometimes I was doing takes in this room that I'm in now quite late on at night, and doing take upon take, and then maybe listening back in the morning. So it was a very solitary experience, but I quite enjoyed it, because you couldn't involve anyone else. There was no one else to involve.
Well, I was going to ask whether you involved Lorraine at all, or anyone along the way. Do these lyrics work? What do you think? Or was it completely a sort of solo project?
Well, Lorraine is always a kind of good sounding board, and I put some harmonies myself and I asked her to add into them. So she, in fact, Spanish Shoes has the most stuff on it. It's got Gregor playing some lovely Spanish guitar, Lorraine does some backing vocals, and similarly on I Was the Beatles. I think that maybe the Foundations as well. So there are bits of that, but Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, normally you would be working with an engineer, producer, you know, so on, but I had to do it myself. So it's really me. It's not that difficult to record. It's like, there's this mic here and that piano over there, and it's that, that's it really, you know.
So I'm gonna take the highway over the buildings, fly over the gates of locked up gardens and wildflower paths, nests atop of chimney stacks. I walk so gently up on the tiles, crossing the city for miles and miles. Then we'll open up all the doors, letting the light dance till the wee small hours. If I get out of here, I'm gonna put on my Spanish shoes and walk out just to be with you. If I get out of here, I'm gonna wear my Spanish shoes to make you feel good and make me feel good too.
Is called Spanish Shoes, the song that Ricky was talking about there, which is on his new album, new solo album, Short Stories Volume 2. So we're going to talk a little bit as we go through the week about the album, but also about the memoir as well, called Walking Back Home. And I did ask him, where is home these days? He was born in Dundee, but spent most of his life in Glasgow, obviously travelled a lot as well. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. So Ricky Ross, frontman of Deacon Blue, going solo for the next few months, obviously doing this tour, which comes to Bristol later in the autumn. And he'll be with us each day through the week on The Late Show. So more from Ricky tomorrow. Let's hear from our special guest then. And it is Ricky Ross, who is a songwriter and, of course, lead singer from Deacon Blue. And as well as touring with the band this year, he's just brought out his own solo album called Short Stories Volume 2 and written his memoir as well. His book called Walking Back Home is out now. So he was born in Dundee, but has spent most of his life in Glasgow. And because the book's called Walking Back Home, I asked him, well, where is home?
Glasgow's it has really been my home for more than half my life now. That's the reality of it. But the experiences that you have as a child, growing up, going to school, your parents, your grandparents, extended family, the sort of community that lives around you, these are all the things that make you. You know, these are the things that make you who you are. This is where you listen to your first records, where you, the places where you met your first girlfriend, you know, you made all your mistakes. Well, not all of them, made plenty as an adult, but, you know, you made your early mistakes. You found your lessons. I talk about the guy that was a school bully, you know, trying to kind of fit in with them, you know, all that sort of stuff. That all happened. And although it really is a short period of time, it forms you so completely, you know, it's definitely all there.
Why did you decide that now was the right time to write a memoir? Was it something to do with lockdown and being reflective, that kind of thing?
In all truth, I started it before any of that happened. And I just started writing sporadic stories, just things that were not going to fit into a song. They just were too long to really bring into one song. And they couldn't tidily fit in. And some of these characters have maybe appeared in songs, but they'd never really had their own story told. So I'd start writing it, and I'd limited myself to about 1,500 words on each one, and was kind of going along quite nicely. And then someone came, and I'm trying to remember when that happened, but it might have been before lockdown, that someone came and said, look, I'm a sort of agent who can put you in touch with public, just by chance, sheer chance. And I said, well, actually, started writing something. And I said, well, that's great. Let me help you sort of formulate that a little bit. And they did. He helped me sort of present it to different publishers, who then responded, and I ended up with Headline, and that was very helpful. So it started in about 2019, and then I did a lot of stuff in lockdown because there was time to do it. And lockdown in Glasgow lasted much longer. But last spring, summer, I went away for a few days to a friend's cottage up in Perthshire, and I just took the dog, and my laptop and sort of really did the bits that were needing done.
And did you find that you had those memories, that all the stories came flooding back? Did you have to ask other people to, I don't know, get some details about some of the early stories?
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I phoned people up. I wrote to people that I wasn't checking that I wasn't misremembering different things. And some of them probably are misremembered, but I didn't bother changing because I didn't make much difference. But yeah, I did a bit of checking. But to be honest with you, the ones I ended up writing about were the ones that I'd already remembered. I would remember anyway. And I just remembered them the way, because maybe something happened that was unusual. You know, there was a walk home from school that was different from another walk home from school. There was a drive. There was a guy who behaved differently. You know, whatever it was. So I kind of remembered these things from growing up and just wanted to, I mean, I was going to say I make sense of them. But they don't really make any sense. You know, they're just things that happen and you have to kind of just put them out there. But they, as I said before, they form you. They make you the person that you kind of end up being.
Yeah, and just reading a few notes about it in your early life, I didn't know, many people probably won't know, that you were a teacher before Deacon Blue came along. So looking back then, I guess you couldn't possibly have imagined how the rest of your life might have panned out when you started working there as a teacher.
I wouldn't, but by the time I started teaching, I'd been done youth work. I'd really taken it as a job and I was really keen on being in music. So I was kind of on the ball in terms of just music was happening all the time outside my working life. And so I was in another band. I wasn't doing the Deacon Blue thing, but I was trying to find a way of making music my thing. I still hadn't found my thing, but that was very much on the agenda at the time.
I've been picking up all the love we squandered. Do you hold me in your swaying arms again? I've been longing for a new world waiting. I've been hoping to be sent. I've been picking up all the love we squandered. Do you hold me in your swaying arms again? Do you rest me in your loving arms again? Gotta hold me now. Gonna hold me now. You've gotta hold me now. You gotta hold me now.
Ricky Ross, Your Swaying Arms, and it's the new version from the new solo album that first of all came out in 1991, that Deacon Blue song, Your Swaying Arms. But that's the new version, the brand new version, which has just come out. So we'll hear more from Ricky, a big week and few weeks and months for him as he prepares to go out on tour singing songs from this new solo album. And of course, hoping that a lot of people will read and enjoy his book as well, called Walking Back Home. More from Ricky tomorrow. More now from our special guest on The Late Show this week, songwriter and lead singer of Deacon Blue, Ricky Ross, who has just released a new solo album called Short Stories Volume 2 and will be touring that album in the autumn, including a gig at St George's Hall in Bristol. But he's also just released his memoir called Walking Back Home, and I asked him when I chatted to him if he's written about any important gigs in the book.
I mean, I've written about significant gigs. There's one gig I've written about, which is it was a gig in New York at the Bottom Line. I've written mainly about around gigs, if you know what I mean. Like there's a thing I wrote about where we come back from Hammersmith Odeon and our friend from America takes me to meet the Rolling Stones. I mean, there's that sort of event. And I may have written about Glastonbury, the second time that we played Glastonbury, which was in 2011, which was a really significant night. I may have written about that. I can't remember what I've written about and what I ended up taking out, but I think I did write about that. Because I think that really formed what became the later part. That really kicked off Deacon Blue 2.0. You know, that was the sort of taking off point for that. So I may well have done, but I don't think I've written about gigs. Are really strange things. As soon as they're done, you forget about them. You have no memory of it. They just happen, and then they kind of disappear off into the. And it's hard to remember one from the other, to be honest.
I understand there's some faith and politics in the book as well. And I know faith has played a huge part in your life. Politics, if people know the lyrics to the Deacon Blue songs, they'll know that there's some politics there as well. So is that an important part of what you wanted to get across?
Well, there was a big political chapter that I took out, actually, interestingly enough. And it just, my publisher sort of felt, we overwrote. Yeah, I overwrote. And I definitely wanted to bring it down and to make it more. So there was actually quite a long chapter on involvement with sort of political things, which he sort of felt actually probably stopped the momentum of the book. I think he's very good at that, right? So I don't think there is much politics going on. Maybe just in general, there's some social stuff that's important to me, like a visit to Africa, which is very important, and there's a visit to Brazil as well. So there's some of that, but these things are probably linked to the faith side of things as well. Yeah, there's a long faith journey that I inherited from my grandparents, my parents, which goes right through my life. And I think that's a really important part of who I am. And I think that's probably, although it's expressed in different ways, I think that's probably a constant factor.
So actually, looking at all the different aspects of the book and what you've gone into, it's kind of people will get to know you much better if they know you as, oh, he's the guy, frontman, Deacon Blue, I know Dignity. But actually, you know, people get a real insight into your life in this book.
Well, I guess so. And to be honest, I've never been over scared about that, because I think if you treat other people with respect and you try and take them seriously, people will be kind enough to listen and not abuse that relationship. So I've left my family out of it. That's the big thing, I think, for me, which is some people might come to the book wanting to know all about my marriage and blah, blah, blah. And that's really for, you know, it's not even my neighbours, but it's not even my sisters, but, you know, it's like nothing to do with anyone. And similarly, my kids, it's their story to tell. So they're there, they happen. I mean, there's bits of the story that involve them and they get mentioned in passing, but they know it's not about them, and they've got their own lives to lead. And similarly with my ex-wife, who's obviously in the book, and Lorraine, we've been married for 32 years, but she has her own life and her own work that she does as well. So that's her story to tell, I think, and that'll happen another time.
All the people, all the world, love is something that will keep it turning. Everyone's got to keep the will. Every boy, every girl, I'm no different. Other day I saw death like an ocean that could wash us away. The only comfort that God was this. I once was unlovely, but now I'm kissed out.
Is called I Am Born, which was originally on the Deacon Blue Homesick album, reworked for Short Stories Volume 2. So more from Ricky through the week. He's our guest throughout the week on The Late Show. And don't forget, Kate Clark is...
But now it's time to hear from our featured guest on The Late Show this week. It's Ricky Ross, the frontman and songwriter of Deacon Blue, who had hits in the 80s like Dignity and Real Gone Kid. Well, Ricky has just released his latest solo album, Short Stories 2, and will be coming to St George's Hall in Bristol as part of his autumn tour. Nicky spoke to him about his recent Deacon Blue tour and asked if he felt the energy of the audience after such a long time without live music.
We did, and we were kind of anticipating what it was going to be like, and it still surpassed that, you know, because I think every night was special. And I think with Deacon Blue now, every night coming to places like Oxford or wherever it is, you know, Portsmouth or wherever, it's just like a homecoming, you know, because it's like you're coming back to your audience that are there. So it's really is special. And I seem to remember Oxford being really good, but again, I can't remember what we didn't do or what we did do, but every night on that tour was really great. As time went on, of course, it became apparent that the COVID, the Omicron thing was coming back, and we had to basically lose the last week of the tour, which was a real shame. So that's why we're still a bit one show, I think, to do from that rescheduling, which is in Holland. But
yeah, I remember you nearly completed the tour. You came so close to completing that tour, and it was actually Glasgow. It was a Glasgow gig, wasn't it, that you didn't do? And how did you feel? Because I guess that was the real homecoming gig.
It was really disappointing because, you know, my daughter lives in California and her husband were coming over for Christmas, and he'd never seen the band, and, you know, it was all that kind of thing. They came over and didn't see it, but it was a lot of things were coming together and would have been lovely. But we did it in May, and it was very special. It really was very special to do it, and it was still a magical night, so it was good.
So let's talk about the tour, as in the solo tour, which is coming up and coming to our part of the world as well. So this is very different. We've talked about the Deacon Blue, you know, the big gigs, the atmosphere, the energy. This is, how does it feel going out there on the solo tours?
I think the contrast is great. You know, I just need to sort of reacclimatize. I mean, one of the things I've been doing, I'm very slow at learning my own songs. So one of the things I'm doing is spending, you know, an hour or so a day just going through these things. So I do that, and just kind of, I like to kind of map out what a show might be. So it takes me a little while just to do that. But I've had a little bit more time over the spring just to think that through. I'm sort of enjoying plotting it. I think I've had longer this time just to think that through, and it's been quite nice. So I just go through little tryouts of what I might do and thinking it through. But the lovely thing is it's a complete contrast to Deacon Blue. The Deacon Blue show is full on, it's noisy, it's loud, it's a big crowd, it's lots of people, lots of crew backstage, it's video screens, God knows what else, you know. It's complete, you know, emotional journey. And it's quite up and as well. So I think whereas my thing is just quite stationary and, you know, and it's thoughtful. And I hope it's really emotional. I think it is an emotional journey. I hope it's funny in places, because I think a solo show has to engage with people and has to make people laugh and cry and all the rest of it. So there's all that stuff going on. But it is a real contrast. It's just a huge contrast to the Deacon Blue show.
It must feel so different. And I know you've got some different venues coming up, churches, town halls. I saw Short Stories one in the Pitville Pump Rooms in Cheltenham, actually. So another special venue. So the venue must help create the atmosphere for these gigs.
It does, In Bristol, it's a lovely venue called St George's, which I played the last time. I loved it. I think I've got a gorgeous piano from memory. I think I played it a couple of times. And it was lovely, really liked playing there. So yes, you get these atmospheric little places. They're all different. And people have a different set of expectations. I think when I first did it, like 20 years ago or 25 years ago, people didn't quite know what to expect. I think some people thought, oh, this is not what I bought into. But I think now people kind of know. And so you get people that will just, that's not for me, you know, I want to come to Deacon Blue show. But I think for people who know, they like that. And I think there is no barrier. There's no barrier between me and the audience. People are there, they sit in front of you. And I usually, COVID permitting, again, this time hopefully we'll do it, sign albums, and this time hopefully sign books as well at the end. So we might have to be a little bit careful about how we, because it's still about how we interact and take photographs. But yes, it's that sort of experience.
Well, let's hear one of the tracks that you could hear from the new album if you go to the gig in Bristol this autumn. It's Bethlehem's Gate.
Summer 89, and everything stood sure and free and there to be finished. there, as bright as the sky at Bethlehem's gate. September again, you come so quick, so send your strength, so strong your kiss. The world groans and strains for the hope of a time, like a prayer that is wished and willed to exist.
Ricky Ross, Bethlehem's Gate. Originally on the Deacon Blue album, Whatever You Do Say Nothing, from 1993, and it's been reworked for Ricky Ross's new solo album, Short Stories 2. And there'll be the final part of our conversation with Ricky Ross on The Late Show tomorrow around the same time. So it's time now to meet our featured guest for the final time this week on The Late Show. And it's Ricky Ross, singer-songwriter, frontman of Deacon Blue. As well as touring with the band this year, he's also just released a solo album, Short Stories 2, and brought out his memoir called Walking Back Home. Ricky told Nikki Price that fans who go to the solo tour this autumn will also hear extracts from the book.
The aim on this one is to also maybe read some extracts from the book. But yeah, the whole thing is a spoken and sung, you know, it's spoken and sung. But yeah, I think you can't do, you know, well, you can do a gig and not say anything. But I think that the whole point of the thing is to try and bring the songs to life and maybe frame them in so the way that you don't get a chance. You just don't get a chance to do that with a Deacon Blue show. I think I talk about that right at the start of the book, how basically we were playing Wembley Arena and I started to introduce a song. All I heard from Wembley, you know, somewhere in the dark, was "Get on with it," you know. And it's just, fair enough, you know. It's that sort of long communication, that story thing. And I have told longer stories. We did a tour, we'd tell a longer story, but you've just got to pick your moment to get a big audience, you know, like a Hammersmith audience type audience sitting, listening. You've got to work hard to get that silence. But you can do it. But I think it's easier sometimes in this kind of show to have that time and that opportunity to do
it. And people are kind of more in the zone of listening to a story, and if they're sort of sitting down in a church listening to a story, but actually they will hear the odd Deacon Blue song sung differently, won't they? Actually,
that's how it started, really. It was me doing older songs the way they were written, sometimes just reinterpreted, and my own sort of solo songs, and sometimes the dividing lines are, I mean, there's a song that's probably a big part of my repertoire that I did a second solo album called The Further North You Go, which involves Lorraine. We actually recorded for Deacon Blue, it never came out. I re-recorded it for my album. You know, sometimes the lines get quite blurred, but yes. And there's, of course, there's three older Deacon Blue songs on this album, and I think about three or four of them on the last one as well.
Yeah. So we started by talking about the fact that you've got a book, a tour, and an album out. Is there any downtime? Do you have much downtime with all this going on?
There is. And on Monday, I looked at my garden and thought, someone needs to pay you some love and attention. And so I spent the day doing that, which was great. And I could do that a lot. I spent a lot of time doing that. And I kind of spent that day listening to a very long podcast and cutting lots of ivy and cutting my grass and so on. So yeah, these are sort of things that I really, and I love cooking. I'm a great, I'm not the best cook in the house. Lorraine's much better than I, if you have friends around, but I like the ritual of maybe stopping whatever we're doing about, and today it'll be about 5 o'clock, and nipping out the shops and getting things and then cooking. We don't have any kids at home anymore, so we just cook for ourselves, and there's no big deadline feeding people, but yes.
There is some downtime. You can
there is downtime.
Spend time in the garden. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you for The Late Show across the West, and we'll see you out on tour. Look forward to reading the book. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nikki.
Everybody turns to gardening in the end, don't they? It gets us all at some point in our life. Ricky Ross there talking to Nikki Price. Let's hear then one of his songs. This is Swaying Arms. And it's been reworked, so you'll know it. It's a Deacon Blues song, but it's been reworked for the new album.
I've been picking up all the love we squandered. Do you hold me in your swaying arms again? I've been longing for a new world waiting. I've been hoping to be sent. I've been picking up all the love we squandered. Do you hold me in your swaying arms again? Do you rest me in your loving arms again? Gotta hold me now. Gotta hold me now. You've gotta hold me now. You gotta hold me now.
Swaying Arms. Been reworked for his new album, a Deacon Blues song there, reworked for Ricky Ross's brand new solo album. And he's coming to the Southwest. In fact, he's going to be playing Bristol, isn't he, on October the 4th. October the 4th is when he's coming to St George's in Bristol.